Yeah, back in the field with the track stars, Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, DJ Jeremiah was good.
All right, make sure you go to trackstarswithaz.com for all things track stars. Follow us on Instagram at trackstars, Twitter at trackstars, like the Facebook page, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and also check out Kingdom Mox and check out the Independent Artist Spotlight, man. It's been crazy, bro. Like, since we've been off, I've done 15 Independent Artist Spotlights since we've been off, man. So shout out to everybody who's been doing the Independent Artist Spotlight. Anyway, it's so many, bro. Like, Matt Mogg, thank you, Jeremiah. He did the copy section with Matt Mogg, so we connected. Troy Patterson, Zay Honcho, A Buck, man, there's so many. William Pippins, Troy Patterson, Sam Giannis, and S Rain Z, Javon Dangerfield, bro. I've just been connecting with so many people, man, to do the spotlight, and I'm blessed, man. Blessed by it. Yeah,
that's dope, man. That's dope.
I think I got a friendly competition going with Jeremiah. Kingdom Mox is growing, bro. Kingdom Mox, it is.
He put out an amazing video today,
and it helped me understand some things. So thank you, brother. Thank you.
That video was like, oh, no, but nah, honestly, we went from like 40 subscribers in a month coming in because the page been up for a while. Yeah. Now we had 108.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. God bless. So, but, yeah. But, yeah, man, Kingdom Mox is really just for urban Christians out there that just love the culture, and they want to try to figure out how you can promote your faith in the culture. So we give you tools to help you walk with your walk, good interviews with people to see people's lives. And the interviews is not like a basic interview. It's more like a testimonial type interview. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, go check those out, man. Yeah, man.
And I got a competition going with James, playing James. I got him drinking Magic Mind with me, man.
All right, there you go.
We were talking about the focus that it has, man, like being able to just have a sharper part of your day, being able to have mental clarity, calmness. My stress levels are down. And I can't believe it, man. Like, I've been going through so many different things just at the start of the new year alone. What about you, James?
Man, you know, I was a little skeptical at first. I ain't going to lie. Because, you know, there's so many drinks out here that say they do this and they do that. So, you know, Ryan gave it to me. I tried it out. And I was like, you know, it's pretty cool. And I tried it last week doing the pod. And I was like, you know what? I feel like I'm on point. Like, I'm sharp. You know what I'm saying? Let my mind function clearly.
Yeah, man.
I had a good boost of energy. So, I was straight.
I got that boost of energy, bro, and I was just like, okay, I'm ready to start my day. I'm ready to, you know, really look at things. I think my vision's gotten better.
Oh, wow.
I would say, yeah. I would say, yeah, man, I went to the eye doctor and no longer in bifocal. So I
have a magic career, man.
Magic mind on that one, man. But yeah, man, it's great. Right now, for, you know, a limited time with Track Stars, you can go and get 45% off if you go to magicminds.com/JanTS. So make sure that you do that, man, because this will be a great opportunity for you to get that mental clarity and sharpness back as well.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. First of all, before we start, I want to say we're praying for everybody that's been struggling with the LA fires. So if you watch the show and you're in LA, man, we've been praying for you and these plane crashes that have been happening recently.
Wow.
Really, really tragic. So we've been praying for you on that. We have a very special guest. Santi is in the building. You may remember her because we did a topic, which we'll recap here in a second, that you said out loud that I don't want to be a Christian anymore.
I did.
So we're going to talk to you in a second. Let's play this and we'll just so everybody could catch up.
I don't want to be a Christian. Anymore. And that may come as a shock because if you know me on here or in real life, like, I don't just know the Bible. I don't just go to church. Like, I love the Bible. I love God. I love His word. I love His people. But I think I'm at a place where I can't help but feel like me loving God, me loving His people, me loving His church has only led me to deeper hurt. And so it's not that I'm doubting the truth, right? It's that I don't like the truth right now. I don't like the reality of suffering. I don't like that we have to feel that suffering. I don't like that we are called to love people that hurt us. I don't like the fact that there's not an opportunity for numbness in the Christian walk as there is in the world.
She's in the right place. Honestly. And the reason I'm saying that is because the Christian walk isn't, like, when we read the scriptures, like, our, I ain't going to say fathers in the faith, but like the people that we look up to in the faith, they went through hard stuff, man. Yeah. It wasn't like, you know, I love that the fact that Jesus was on the hearts of the, you know, the Peters or the Pauls, the people who were like getting persecuted and they kept coming back. You know what I mean? That takes strength. That takes like really trust in the Lord. And I think sometimes she's in a good place. My only thing would be for her is that she gets around some solid believers to encourage her during this time.
If you find yourself in that spot, you got to go in deeper. Yeah. You got to get in God's face even more, because what you ultimately have to say at the end of all these doubts and frustrations with how the world works is, I trust you.
It's a set of circumstances that are going to happen in life sometimes. They're going to have you really question, like, God, are you with me?
That's
good. God, do you hear my prayers?
Yeah, that's real.
How much more do I have to go through? How much more can I take? And that's why when you look in the scriptures, you see you're in good company, because everybody who followed Christ at one point or another had to go through those circumstances.
Yeah. Would you put that out on social media, and could it be more harmful than good? Right? Because I looked at some of the comments, and it seems like there's people that are in her ear for the good reason and then in her ear for the bad reason. Well, when you get social media involved and you get all these different voices, I saw so many comments coming at her. You start reading them, and then you start getting deceived. You know, if the wrong message is sent out there, I just feel like you opened it up to way too many people that might not really care for you and have a good heart to help you.
Let me just say this as a warning, though. It's by the grace of God that you're allowed to say that out loud. The fact that you're even allowed to tell God to his face, I don't want to be one of your grace. Children, or I don't want to, like, that is like bold.
Hate.
I mean, Job had the same.
Like, yeah, that's what I was about to say. Yeah,
like God allows it.
Yeah,
like, but allow. Yeah. Like, it is mercy that you're allowed.
All right, so we have Santi here.
Yeah,
how did it feel listening back to that?
It's tough, but like I think I'm not where I was in that moment, but I feel like it's a painful reality that we don't talk about. And so, and one, I didn't expect so many people to hear it.
Over a million.
Yeah.
Over a million.
Yeah. Wow. When I posted that video, though, I had 900 followers. It was me and my friends. And so it was kind of a PSA, like, hey, y'all, if I'm moving a little bit different, I'm not where I usually am in my walk. And then the internet showed up.
The internet showed up.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
So Ryan knows I've been the most excited for this show.
Oh yeah.
To have you on here, because I think you represent where a lot of people are, and being able to have this conversation with you and just see where you were, where you are now, what changed.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about what Ryan said? How'd you feel about what I said? Like, what did you think about all that?
How honest am I allowed to be?
Honest.
I was very nervous. My old youth pastor was the one that sent me the video, and I'm like, oh no. I just see my face. I'm like, oh no, this can't be good. And then I listened, and I was grateful for just the wisdom that you guys shared and the compassion in the conversation. And I think, like, one of my biggest insecurities with this whole thing is, like, I'm a person that needs to be understood. Mm-hmm. And we know that the internet is a public place, but especially when you've, like, posted things with the hopes of getting, like, some kind of reach or growth, and then it doesn't happen, you're like, no, it's just me and my friends. Like, this is just a place to easy peasy share. And I think with so many people coming in, I'm like, oh no, I cannot re-reach those same 1.5 million people and explain further. Like, that may be some people's only encounter of me. And I think that may, like, that expose that insecurity, like, oh my gosh, now I have to go explain myself. But watching you guys' conversation, I got to watch the Lord be my defender in a lot of ways. Like, I think I just watched the Holy Spirit. Like, there were even examples that you used that were very applicable to my real life. And I was like, these people don't know me. That's the Holy Spirit. Like, I don't have to be in the room to defend myself, because the Lord is there, and he's our defender. Yeah. And I think that was really helpful to see, for sure.
Yeah, I intercepted your DM, and it was really nice. You know, said thank you so much for, you know, having the conversation. And then you did a follow-up video. Right? How did the follow-up video, how was that?
So the original follow-up video, because we've had a couple now, but I was just kind of talking through, like, I think for me, I've always placed a high emphasis on being real with the Lord. But I think as I'm growing older, I like I want to also be reverential. And so finding that balance of like being real and open and honest, but like we still have to honor the Lord in that honesty. Mm-hmm. And what does that look like? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Let's just go on this journey of figuring it out together.
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of where me and our my sweet little community have been since then. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Did you get a chance to look at majority of the comments or did you stop at some point?
I stopped at some point. Okay. The first few days I was like, one thing that I think is helpful in this season is that the Lord in his kindness has allowed this all to happen in a time where like social media is an overflow mm-hmm. of my actual life. Mm-hmm. So like I didn't have the thought, oh, I don't want to be a Christian anymore and then get on the internet and post it. Like it was a conversation that I'd had with a pastor, had with my best friend. Mm-hmm. Like I'd been wrestling through it. So like it feels like a vulnerable moment for the internet, mm-hmm. but really I'm like, no, this is just the facts of where I'm at. Because as much as you can watch that video, no one knows the details of why or right. where or how. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like I didn't feel exposed in that way because it again, it's from overflow. I'm having the real deep conversations in my real life, mm-hmm. and so it's not hard for me to get on the internet and be like, hey, like. This is just a pit stop of where I'm at in my journey. So yeah.
So why, where, how? What brought you to that
point? Oh, we're getting there.
We got to.
I think what's been helpful is and kind of lit a fire and helped me kind of transition out is realizing that this is not a singular thing. Because it wasn't like, I think for some people going viral would be like a celebrated thing. But for me, I was like, wait, no, this is one of my lowest moments in my Christian walk. Mm. And 700,000 people are agreeing with me. Like the enemy is attacking not just me, but like God's remnant. Mm-hmm. And so like we need to be praying and having the conversations. But I think for me personally, it's just been, I think there's this wave of like, you come to Christ. And for me, like I had a very traumatic childhood. And so that's kind of what led me to Christ. I was like, wait, the hope, the love, the peace, all of that, like, sounds great. I'm in.
Yeah.
And then walking with Christ, there's this idea, and he doesn't promise this, but we develop this idea that, like, everything's just going to be better. It's going to be easier. It's going to feel better. And I think the more that I read the Bible, I just started reading verses like, I think it's in Hebrews 11, where he said, and all of these died without seeing the promise. I'm like, wait, pause. What do you mean? Like, because I think my understanding of like seasons of suffering is, okay, maybe a few months, maybe a year or two. And then like the deeper the suffering, the greater the come, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
And yeah, yeah, yeah. Then you 3-4 years in, I'm like, I look back on the last 4 years and the last 4 years have been hard. I look before that, 4 years before that were hard. I'm like, when does it get easier? And I'm starting to realize, like, sometimes the answer is eternity. Like, sometimes there are certain promises that we're not going to see on this side of heaven. And I don't think I mentally prepared for that, walking into my relationship with Christ, if that makes sense.
That's a very mature take. I think it's so important because I saw somebody the other day who was walking in the faith for a long time. He was an artist, and he talked about how year after year continued with suffering, year after year after year. It's like, man, when is it going to end? And I thought about was, although that may be true, is real emotion. I think when we look in scripture, sometimes we turn a page and we think that people just got through something mm-hmm. that quick. Like that turn of a page could have been 40 years. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You look at how long Joseph was in prison and going through all that stuff. We just reading through the story, but these were years and years and years are going by. You've been sold into slavery. You've been lied on. You forgot about all mm-hmm. kind of stuff. And I think when you look into the scriptures and you see it, not only do you see, like, okay, it's not just me, but you ask yourself, how did these people find joy in the midst of what they were going through? How was Paul in Philippians encouraging people on the outside? Right. You've been in jail. You're not encouraging nobody on the outside. Let me tell you that. So what is it? What is it that they have? And you have to really lock in. It's kind of what you were just saying, like an eternal perspective of this is not my home. And it's so tough because everything on this earth is just geared toward making you want this so bad.
Yes.
I want this right now. I want that right now. And it really takes a renewal of the mind to really look with the eternal perspective and not want everything right here, right now. It's tough.
Yeah. And also, I think another word is like contentment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like once you, when you get into the scriptures and you start reading it, you like somebody's talking about the prosperity gospel. It's like, you know, God, you may think God wants me to have certain things that you think. And I agree with you. Like, I've been in that place where I was like, I should be here. And I'm looking back at it. I'm not here. But I think at the same time, you have to, like you said, have an eternal mindset. Because it's like, you may not get anything here. But what
what God wants you to have here. You know what I'm saying? And being content with that. Because
yes.
a lot of people are not content. And then if you are content with what you have, then that's when doors can open up where God can be like, okay, you're content with this. Maybe I can add this to you. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think at times when people look at that from that perspective, it's like a contentment mind and an eternal mind. Like, God, if this don't pop, if Kingdom Ox don't pop or whatever, it's like, God, I'm good because I'm content with what you've given me exactly. and blessed me with.
One thing real quick, too. We talked about the John the Baptist situation mm-hmm. last time. One key thing, if you look at the rest of that story, when he told John, like, yeah, it's me or whatnot, one of the things Christ said, and blessed are those who are not offended. Yeah. Pretty much saying, like, I know it's what you had in mind, but if you really know who I am, if you really trust me, like, blessed are those who are not offended. And that's not always an easy process. Like, I've been offended. And I'm right. like, God, I'm offended. Like, I didn't see it turning out this way. A lot of it was probably bad teaching early on or just the way life works. Life is so transactional that you feel like God is the same way. If I do A, B, and C, I'm going to get this right here in return. And God's like, nah, you're just doing that because I told you to do that. I'm not obligated to do anything outside of my will. Right. And that's tough because we always want something back for what we
right.
do.
Mm-hmm.
And God don't always move that way. And I say this. What you get back in return may not be what you expect to get back.
Yeah,
what
right.
you
right.
want.
Yep.
Right.
And I think for me, it's like realizing that in a lot of ways, I've unintentionally developed a theology that thinks that like Jesus is the key, like the key to a healthy marriage, the key yeah. to like enduring suffering, the key to all of these things. And I'm like, I think I'm mentally adjusting to the reality that he's not the key. He's the door. He is the gift. Like yeah. he is the promise that God gave me. And if the moment that I am looking at Jesus and telling him he's not enough, I'm the problem. It's not Jesus.
Right.
And I think it's just been, and to get more specific, I think the last few years have just been extreme grief. Like I've lost so a lot of family members, even this year alone. I'm preparing for, we've had 4 deaths in the family since January.
Wow.
Since January of this month?
Yep.
Wow.
And so I think, and before that, again, it was trauma. So I think like I came into adulthood like, this is the time. And then I got introduced to a whole new form of suffering where it's just been continuous loss and then losing friendships that I thought were forever,
yeah.
which is a part of normal life.
Yeah.
But there have just been very real situations where like I started praying scary prayers and I got scary answers like, Lord, give me wisdom. And now I'm in situations where it's not like sin or don't sin.
Yeah.
It's, oh, Lord, I need your wisdom to like operate because either one is not necessarily wrong, but what's honoring to you, what's honoring to the people around me.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
it's just a lot more dying to self than I was prepared for. So, yeah.
So you were in a place, where are you now?
I would say now I'm trying to slow down and continue wrestling. I feel like with the video having the response that it did, I felt this pressure to come back and be like, hey guys, God is good. Like everything's fine. I promise. Like Christianity's great. And yeah. I think I'm trying to be intentional, and I've asked like my friends and family to just hold me accountable to like staying in the wrestle, because I think really how I got to that place last year specifically was I was coming off of like a spiritual high. The year before was when like I hit a low, and for the first time I looked at Jesus and I was like, you're all I got and I need you to be enough. And he was like, he met me in a way that I'd never experienced him before. I started like just there was just so many. I think my relationship with the Holy Spirit changed that year. And I was like, man, nothing can touch me after this. Like me and God are locked in for life. Lord, I see you now. I see you. I get you. Like no matter what else happens, like what did Paul say? I have a base and I have a back.
Yep.
Whatever happens, Lord, I have you. We're good. And then we rolled into the next year with, again, just more loss, more crazy situations in my personal life. And for 80% of the year, I was so overwhelmed with God's goodness that I forgot to grieve. Like, I genuinely was just like, man, God is so good. Like, yeah, everything's on fire, but, like, don't you see how kind he's being? Don't you see the little miracles? And I think I was so focused on his goodness that I forgot that part of his goodness is that I get to grieve. And so then I hit the end of the year, more things were happening, and it just hit a tipping point of, like, man, I felt like his goodness was robbing me of that ability. I was like, it's like almost having someone being so, so nice to you that even though they're getting on your nerves, you're like, how can I tell them that they're getting on my nerves? Because it's like, you're so kind. You're so good.
Yeah.
And I think I just hit a point of like, again, it was me neglecting my own emotions because God never said that I couldn't, you know, cry. God never said I couldn't lament.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think me like just not having the wisdom to slow down in those moments mm-hmm. led me to a place where it just hit me all at once. And God was never the problem, but for me it was like, man, if you go away just a little bit, then I can like crash out the way that I want.
I think it's so interesting that you mentioned that, because I had recently come out of a season of grief, same thing, years back to back. And especially during like that COVID span, I stopped counting after 16 mm-hmm. of family, close friends. I have never been to that many funerals in my life.
Yeah.
And then as mm-hmm. they died, it kept getting closer. My grandfather died, my aunt died, like all this stuff. But God also in that time sat me down and was like, you need to grieve. So it's interesting that yeah. you say that, because we think, oh, we got to keep going, got to keep going. And he's like, no, I care about you as much as I care about my will and what yeah. I want you to do. Both of them matter equally. Yeah. But in our minds, oh, I have to do all this stuff. I got to do ministry. He's like, yeah, but I care about you too. And I remember he directed me like a couple weeks ago to Mark. I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do again? And he sent me to the verse where it was like, they went away to a quiet place to mm-hmm. rest. And I was like, gotcha. But even in that, it was that verse also led me to Jesus' compassion. Because I was like, why did you call them away to rest? That was after John the Baptist was beheaded. Mm-hmm. And it showed like, before it even said that, it was like the disciples was just ministering and working so much, they didn't even have time to eat. So he saw that and was like, okay, I need to pull y'all away to rest. And then when they got the news of John the Baptist, he was like, okay, we really need to go now.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So it is important, even to Jesus, that we sit down, we grieve, we wrestle, we deal with these emotions, because he understands, being 100% God, 100% human, that we are human and need to go through these human experiences, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And he's willing to sit and walk with us through it. And that's really being able to understand a different level of comfort when he says, I'm your comforter. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to push you out of this. I'm going to sit with you and gently lead you through it.
And that was honestly what that season exposed. Because yeah. I was like, I think I trust God as provider, because I went through a season of just being broke. And the Lord provided. But I realized that every time something happened, I was reaching for, like, whether it be TikTok. Again, not necessarily sin, but, like, I'm like, why am I on TikTok as much as I am? Mm-hmm. Why do I feel the need to always be entertained by something? Like, why am I avoiding being still when I used to love being still with mm-hmm. the Lord? And I realized, like, oh, it's like a baby reaching for a pacifier all the time. Yeah. Like, I didn't trust yeah. God as comforter. And mm-hmm. so I was challenging myself to trust him as that. And I felt like it, like, the comfort of the Lord, I'm learning, well, I won't say I've learned, we are in the process, is not as quick and immediate as our flesh wants. Like,
right.
the dopamine that I get from opening my phone to TikTok, like, is immediate. But the true deep-rooted peace that comes from the Lord takes a lot more time. And I think I'm just adjusting to long suffering. And I think I confuse suffering for a long time with having the gift of, like, the fruit of long suffering. I'm like, no, because I've never suffered well. Mm-hmm. So I really don't have long suffering, no, despite, like, me going through lots of suffering. And so I think that's the fruit that me and the Lord are working on now.
Okay.
Is like sitting in it.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I just want to commend you, though, for being transparent in your journey. And even the parts that you don't necessarily want to expose are the parts that are ministering to people in the body, because I think we oftentimes get caught up in the image, in how we're perceived, in all the blessings of prosperity and just, you know, life going good.
Yeah.
But there's a blessing in grief. There's a blessing mm-hmm. in mourning. I mean, his word says, blessed are those who mourn,
yeah.
for they will be comforted. But you have to embrace that season as well. And that, to your point, is a process, because it does require you to be still. It does require you to not look to all the different things that are pacifying you, because it's when you're in that stillness and that quietness that yeah. those emotions can surface and the Holy Spirit can really minister to you through them. Mm-hmm. So it's not in us hiding or not acknowledging that they're there. Of course, he knows they're there. But when we give space for them to rise to the surface is when he can meet us even more and experience them in an even greater way. So just realizing that, yes, God wants you to mourn. Yes, God wants you to grieve. But there's a blessing attached yeah. to that as well. In God's just amazingness, he blesses us in our obedience. And he doesn't have to,
right.
you know. So there's a blessing there as well. And I don't want you to miss it. Yeah. That's all.
I will say, too, I think what you were describing, just learning God's nature and his character, it's like a relationship. You're
yeah.
in a relationship with God. It's like, I'm assuming people who've been married for a long period of time, like, with the first year of marriage looks like doesn't look the fifth, the sixth, seventh year don't look the same. It's like as things develop, you learn different things about your partner. So you're developing that relationship. Even when you saw with the disciples with Christ, like they walked with him every day, but they were in the ship and he was out walking on the water. They were like, is it a ghost or this and that? He showed up in a different form. And I think sometimes with us in our life, we have to recognize that, like, Christ is going to come in a different form. He still loves us the same, care for us the same. He's going to be there, everything that we need him to be, but he's going to show up in a different form because in that season, we need a different thing out of him for us to mature and grow to the next level he wants us to go. Amen. So I think it's a relationship.
So what's the future? Do you feel like God is calling you into ministry, doing some sort of public talking? Because you spoke very well and you were clear.
Podcast.
So that's kind of what I'm thinking. But I don't want you to feel pressure just because a million people saw what you said. You don't have to do that, but do you feel like God is calling you to
1.5 million.
Right. The thing is, I've always felt that. I think growing up, a huge part of my story is that I struggled with mental health issues for a very long time, just like PTSD, depression. And I remember there was a point in my, like, 17, 18, where I felt that pull to ministry. And I was like, God, I'm not going to let you use me just to prove some point of how good you are. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, yeah, no, you're going to have to choose someone else. So I feel like I've always felt it. Wow. And in the one season that, like, I'm like, yeah, no, never mind. I don't think it's for me. God's like, <"Ta-da!"> maybe, you sure? Yeah. And so it's been, again, I think the timing I've gotten to see, because like at the times that I wanted public ministry, if you will, like a podcast, and I have a YouTube channel and all of those things, I realize now looking back, like my character wasn't set up in a way where it would have been maintained it well. Right. And I would have been more exposed. Like I was not pruned enough. And I remember, like, thankfully the Lord taught me that in a previous season. And I started praying like, Lord, prune me in private, please and thank you. Because I think it's a terrible witness to the world when we continue to watch leaders fall in the way that they do. But I think part of it is on us as like a Christian community. We put too much, we give people a platform before they're ready for it, especially with social media. Like moments like this, I promise you, there are people in my life that would be like, hey, I don't think you need to be on there. I think you need to take a step back and just deal with this in your real life. But one of the gifts of this season is that my friends are like, no, I think like, this is the moment you have, because we've had those conversations in private. They've watched me wrestle in private. And so it's been a blessing to just hear the people that have been in my life say like, no, you've got this. Yeah. You know how to do this. You love the Lord. And going back to like where I am now, what I realized, because it was a real thought process of like thinking through like, okay, because one, that undercover grief and frustration, at first it was just TikTok and TV, but then it was like, nah, let's go have a drink. Let's go turn up. What if I just stop caring a little bit? Yeah. And I was like, man, but I love Jesus too much. And I was like, no, God, you're worthy of more. You deserve better. You require holiness, all of these beautiful things. But then at the end of the year, when I just got to that point where like that frustration was outweighing those feelings, I realized like, okay, I encountered an old Christian leader that I used to follow heavily when I was younger that's no longer a Christian. And it just kind of hit me. I was like, wait, if this person can just walk away, what would it look like for me to just walk away? And I literally started, I remember I was at my desk at work like, huh, like, I don't have to wrestle with my flesh like this. Yeah. What would it look like to just not, to just be like, hey, I don't believe anymore. But then as soon as I said it, I was like, well, I do believe because God has gone out of his way to prove himself to me, and he didn't have to. Like, I've had too many real encounters with the Lord to sit here and say he's not real. And I was like, okay, well, can I go the rest of, what would it look like to just have a seared conscience? Can you pray for that kind of thing? Like,
Not you want to be reprobate.
Right. I was like,
I missed the kingdom, girl.
I was really sitting there like, am I willing to consciously walk away from the Lord and accept the reality of hell just for like temporary comfort in this life? Like, do I care about eternity enough to continue in the wrestle? Because I felt like I was just in this tightrope of like, I feel all of these feelings and I have to bring them all to the Lord. But to honor the Lord, there's a, like, we don't get to grieve as those who have no hope. I'm like, but I feel as deeply as those who have no hope. Like, what does that look like? And I think I got to a place I was like, wait, I don't, like, my feelings weren't what made me a Christian. And like it clicked for me because I had the blessing of like transitioning to the reform space a while ago. And so I got really, really good theology. And I was angry at how deeply rooted it was. But I realized like, wait, like I'm still a Christian. Like me saying, oh, I don't want to be a Christian. What's changed?
Right.
Absolutely nothing. And it's like, oh, you weren't relying on my feelings to call me. Yeah. You weren't relying on my feelings. Like at some point there has to be a response. I can't continue the rest of my life saying like, yeah, I'm just a Christian because God chose me. But yeah, I don't really care. Like, but it's also like, I think because I had so many feelings, because I had that season where I was just so in love with the Lord and so passionate about the things of the Lord, when that passion died down, I thought that was what it was built on. And it taught me like, wait, no, that was never the foundation. Right. Like right. It started with Christ, and it's Christ that's going to keep me.
Yeah.
And so that's been my like, Jude 124 has been my prayer in this season. Like, Lord, now unto you who is able to keep me, because I obviously cannot keep myself.
Right. Right.
And so you're going to have to do it.
Okay. All right. All right. So we'll be praying for you, because if the reason I ask is because it's cute when you're by yourself, but when you are teaching other people, the responsibility becomes very serious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So pray through that responsibility, because like you see, when you say something publicly, a lot of people are like, me too, me too, me too. Yeah, yeah, you spoke to me. And the responsibility on the person who does that is way stronger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the times where it sounds like God is getting angry is usually towards the people who are the talkers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People who have the responsibility to preach the right thing to people. So, yeah, I would just pray for that. I see something strong in you. So we'll be praying for you. I think what Jeremiah said, the original thing he said about, I want you to get around people. It sounds like you have people, but you also have us now. So we're rooting for you, and you have everybody watching. We're all going to be praying for you, because I think everybody who's honest, when they saw you, they were like, she loves God. We just got to pray her through this.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm. And what platform did you say you did this on?
This was on Instagram.
This was on Instagram.
Yeah.
And you said you had 900 friends?
900. Me and my friends and family.
Now you got 15,000.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people that are coming to hear your words.
Yeah.
Yeah. Responsibility there.
Yes. Well, and I take that.
It is.
You know, but the Lord in his kindness, again, and I keep saying the Lord in his kindness, because kind is a word that I just started using for the Lord.
Okay.
I feel like I used to see him as just like Lord.
Yeah.
You know, just master, ruler, all of these things. But I'm learning to like look for his kindness. Like where you look for the goodness of God, you'll find it. And I'm able to see it, because before all of this, I've been stuck on 2 Timothy and 2 Peter. And 2 Peter is where Peter gives this long warning about teachers and preachers. He's like, and these are, I don't want to misquote him, but basically he was saying, like, there is wind, like a sail with wind blowing them. And he's talking about how they lead people to Christ, but they themselves will never see the promise. And for them to walk away, it would have been worse for them to have never and I was like, and I remember just feeling the weight of that. I was like, I don't want to be that. Even in my own look, because I've always taken local, like me serving in my local church, I serve in worship. I take that very, very seriously.
Yes.
And even singing words like, Lord, I just want you. I was like, wait, just? I think in my heart, I want a lot of other things. And so I think worship leading has trained me to like, pause and think, because I'm getting up and I'm standing in front of people and I'm singing these very powerful, very cute words, but they're only cute like if I mean them. And if I don't mean them, then God is hearing me and he's going to hold me to this commitment that I'm making. Like, yeah, Lord, I just want you, which unintentionally is saying like, okay, you can take away everything else as long as I have you. But then when he does, I'm mad. And so I think like just being able to serve in my local church has helped me to grow accustomed and grow aware of the weight of that responsibility. And again, like, I don't think it's a coincidence that the Lord had me in 2 Peter reading through all of that right before all of this happened. And so I think I've been very intentional, or tried to be. I won't say I've done it perfectly, about like, before I post a video now, like sending it to a friend, what you think? Like, does this sound, you know what I'm saying?
That's very good.
And I literally have a group chat with three of my closest friends that love the Lord, and called Board of Advisors.
Amen.
And
they're,
there are moments where they've been like, yeah, I don't know about this one. And then I pray about it and I'm like, yeah, okay, you're probably right.
That's good.
And so that's been a blessing as well.
So Crispy ran a poll. He said, have you ever felt the way she's felt in that video? 20% said, I have, I have and have left before. 42% said I have but didn't leave. 9% said I know someone who has, and 29% said I have not. So, I mean, it's a lot of people who have been, 42%, most people have been exactly where you were.
Yeah.
Some people have even gone past that. So that's why I think it resonated so much, because a lot of people think it, but they don't say it.
Yeah.
So you spoke for a lot of people. So hopefully they're not just taking what you said. They're continuing with you and seeing where you went. So, yeah, we'll just pray for that.
I have just one thing I just want to encourage you in is to continue wrestling. When you stop, it becomes dangerous, but continue wrestling with God. Again, that is a privilege because he invites us in to converse with him and not just be compliant. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a gift to ask questions and, you know, really say, I don't understand, or express frustration. And honestly, that's where your transformation lies. You know, that's when you wrestle. That's when you get changed. That's when your name changes, your walk changes, you change. So keep wrestling. That's all I'm going to say.
So apparently your mom is watching.
Hey, mommy.
And she said her praying mama is right here, too.
Yeah, mom to the board of advisors.
That's awesome. Yeah, so you'll be good. You'll be good. I'm confident.
Good.
So awesome. So we got more to talk about today. Before we do, I forgot to mention that we added a new feature to Patreon. So if you want to be able to leave messages for us, because I know a lot of people are like, how come they didn't like say anything about Marcus Wright? That was a big thing. So if you want to react to the previous week's show, you can send a video or audio message, short message to us. And at the end of the show, we'll play them back so you can weigh in on what happened the week before. If you want to react to what happened with Marcus Rogers last week, or if you want to react to Santi today, you can, if you're a Patreon. So go to patreon.com/trackstarsuniverse. Make sure you subscribe here, but also join us there as well. Oh. All right. So, okay. Speaking of ministers of the gospel, Philip Anthony Mitchell. Philip Anthony Mitchell got into some stuff. He there was an issue with his church, and he didn't like the way some YouTubers were talking about what happened with his church. Let's see what he said.
As if any idea or notion that I will stand on any platform in the United States of America and beg anybody for a dollar is asinine. It is not my character or my heart. And you cannot find a video, a sermon, an event in 12 years of ministry where I've ever manipulated anyone for a dollar. Does not exist. So I want to remind those who speak evil of me that I'm going to address you this one time. Look right at me. Turn this into a video. Right here. Turn this into a video. And repent before the Lord. For the pain you heard in my voice last week was not the pain for a dollar. It was the pain of a father who was concerned that his children would not have a roof over their head in 60 to 90 days. It was the pain of a father who needed favor from God to touch the heart of men, which a sermon could not do. And I said that the only option we had, mark my words, the only way forward was to pray for God to move on the heart of men. That's what I said. That our cry last week, I didn't shed tears on a platform for money. That's ridiculous. I shed tears on a platform for favor.
All right, so apparently there was people who made videos. It wasn't us because we were on break. no, for a fact, it wasn't us. People made videos basically saying that he was begging for money. A lot of people donated, apparently. So what happened was, I guess what he wanted was, there was a warehouse where there's people that wouldn't let him get it. And he was asking for, you know, God to move on their hearts and allow them to use it because it was a perfect space for them. And essentially, before all this, he said that they donated money to another church so they can get a building. So he was really trying to stress that that's not why he brought this up, for people to donate money to him. So what do you think about what he said?
Bro, come on, man.
You know how this starts. 18 years.
Yeah.
18 years what?
He's looking away.
What do you think?
So I've been watching different videos about it. Y'all know I was one of the ones that was just like, let's talk about it, right? It's interesting. It's an interesting concept. You know, I think that after watching the video and after seeing so many different comments on it, this is what I would say, right? Even if having Santi here, when you hear something and it's taken out of context, and you actually hear somebody go back and explain it, it always sounds like, oh, okay, I get it now, right? I did that with your video. At the very end, you said, we'll see how it happens on, we'll see what happens on the other side, yeah. Right? And when I heard that, I heard other side of sin.
Leaving Christianity.
Exactly. And so when he first did this, you know, this plea on stage, I call it a plea, I don't know, that's the wrong word to use. I was just like, that's interesting, because it sounded like we were hearing 250,000, then 7 million, then 12 million to cap it all off, right at 19 million, right? It's like, oh, okay. So he raised that in about an hour, $250,000 plus in about an hour. And then you come back and you find out that, okay, he got blessed in what he said he wanted to do, right? He got an opportunity. Mm-hmm. But then he also took that money and gave it to a church in Dallas to help them out.
Yeah.
So then you're like, okay, so whatever the optics looked like at the beginning, obviously, it didn't end out that way.
Right.
So yeah, that's my take on it.
Man, I visited that church probably about 8 or 9 months ago. And one thing I can say, I can't speak on nobody else's experience, but for mine, when I went, he seemed uncomfortable asking for tithes and offerings. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't really get the vibe from him that he was just out after money. Now, I will say this. When the platform begins to rise and more eyes on what you're doing, the opportunity for a little bit of pride to kind of sneak in can happen. So when I saw that video right there, and you know what I'm saying, and how he's, I'm going to look you in the camera, like, you know what I'm saying, that right there, I saw a little pride in that. And it's kind of like what we were telling bro last week, like, if you feel like you're doing what God told you to do, and people are going to know your character, don't defend yourself, because guess what? After you defend yourself, they're still going to think the same thing they want to think about you.
Right.
And the more you talk, the more guilty you look, even if you're not. That's the first thing we learn. When they take you in interrogation, you're like, hey, no. My lawyer, please. Like, the more you talk, the more chance you got of looking guilty.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, if you feel like you're not guilty, you feel like you're doing what God told you to do, stop defending yourself, and don't let the applause of the people and the rise of the people cause that pride to sneak in and you start addressing people being tough. And like, the pulpit is not for that. You know what I'm saying? I would have been up there like, look, man, God knows what we need. I came here in full transparency, being honest. My heart grieves because I don't want to lose our church, and we need somewhere for us to worship and have our gathering. That's all it was. If you feel some way about it, you take it to God. And just leave it like that. I think men were not designed for worship. Like, we were not designed to be praised. And whether you want it or not, some folks are following you because you're preaching the truth, and some folks are following you out of idolatry. Mm-hmm. Some folks are following you because they want a platform like yours, and they're watching what you're doing. They want to follow your every move so they can try to have the same thing you got. So you got to be cognizant of that when you're on these kind of platforms. You got to make sure everything you're doing and saying is God forward, because everybody's not there for the same reason.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Oh, I think when I first saw it, I know we had a discussion. I think when I first saw it, I was like, he's just asking people to give money to church. And he gave explanation. He didn't like, I just need something. I need a plane, or I need this. Or, you know what I'm saying? It was like, yo, my church, we are going through some stuff. You know, I did see somebody say that they didn't like the way he was calling the people out in the video, where he was talking like the, you know, the Karens of the block and all this other stuff. But I think at his real experience, I mean, it goes back to like what we talked about with David. Like, when you read the Psalms, David was calling people out in them Psalms. Like, he was like, these people are accusing me of stuff I didn't do. Lord, get him. Slap him. That's what he said. Like, we read that recently. Like, slap him. Get him. So it's like, I think at the end of the day, is he came from a right perspective to me. I think he was talking like, yo, my church needs this. And if, of course, we're going to do what we need to do, but if anybody wants to help the body of Christ here, and you think I'm preaching, like, he didn't say all this, but if you think I'm a man worthy enough of your money, please donate to our church. And then to me, I was like, I don't think it was a problem to me, because I'm like, he just expressed how he felt and what was going on at his building and what they're about to lose. Like, we got, he's like, our church is growing, yeah, and our church is doing amazing things, and we're growing by the numbers, and we're about to get kicked out of here. I, as a spiritual leader, I have no place, and God is, these are my sheep, essentially. Mm-hmm. Like, God is, as a shepherd, is requiring me to make sure my sheep is good. So it's like, besides everybody here giving, I'm pleading to the body of Christ, can you guys help me with this if you can help me? That's what I got out of it. I don't think he was wrong for asking for money, but I don't think that was his intent. Like, he just wanted favor. So I agree with what he was saying. So
yeah, I so same thing I said. Like, I mean, Plain already said it. I was watching. I was like, man, we just talked about this. I would advise that he not defend himself, because, and this is what I learned over the years, is that most people don't even know what's going on. So when you get up and you're like, duh, 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 now it's like, what's happening?
Yeah.
You know, and I realized that, like, whenever we, like, respond to comments or we get on here and try and defend ourselves. Remember we did that video? I'm pointing at you because you went on.
Which one?
The atheist that made a video about us. After we did a video about atheism.
Yeah.
And then we responded to his video about us. I look back at it and I was like, we got to take this down.
Oh.
It's just not right. Cause we were angry. Yeah, like, cause he said things that were wrong. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but what I realized is that most people watching Track Stars, most people watching you and all this stuff, they don't know what this guy said. They don't know. So all they see is you come on here, like, I can't believe you said such and such. So now you're bringing attention to this man. To the, you know what I'm saying?
Never.
Like,
yeah.
So I would just, it usually doesn't end up looking good. There are times where you have to. I get that. And this may have been one. But I just don't advise it, just because, just like I told Marcus, if you continue to do it, are you defending God? Mm-hmm. Which I think he was trying to say. Are you defending God or are you defending you?
Yeah.
And usually when you end up defending yourself, it looks bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, that's exactly the way I took it, because he started calling out different situations. You know, in 12 years, you haven't seen me do this and that and the other. And it's like, yeah, you're definitely defending yourself because you're putting timelines on it. But I also think, too, that it's hard to separate someone's personality and their character from a situation. And so
he's a bold guy.
He is a bold guy. Yeah. And he's also, and so is Marcus. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you get in this situation where you've got to use, you know, biblical restraints, but then you also have your own personality that comes out as well. Because there's a lot of things in that first video where I was just like, okay, this is kind of making me cringe a little bit. And I'm gonna tell you, it's real simple, real small, and everybody else gonna be like, Ryan, come on. But it was like when he kept saying, listen to me. Y'all listen, like, they were trying to, like, praise, worship, say, scream out, whatever, and he kept, like, quiet.
Yeah.
I'm talking right now. And I was like, ooh. You know? So yeah.
The correction.
Yeah. So it gets to that point. I just think that it scares me when people get to that point.
Yeah.
When they seem like they're going to say something that somebody else is going to make another video about.
Yeah.
You know, at some point, I want you to stop making videos about me. I'll just be quiet if you're going to keep making videos about me.
In his defense, too, I would say this. He's kind of in uncharted territory.
Yeah.
I don't think he expected that church to grow into the number.
Sure.
So it's like, once again, when you have a large platform, the unfortunate thing about that is you're kind of maturing and growing in real time in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So every flaw, I might get on here, or not me, I ain't big enough, but somebody like him might get on here and say something crazy. Just being in a moment of vulnerability and just frustrated. And guess what? That's 15 videos you're going to see online of people dragging you through the mud. They don't look at just one moment where a man was being a man and he messed up.
Yeah,
I form an opinion on this man, and everything I do from this point on is going to prove that he's this kind of person.
Exactly.
As opposed to allowing him the opportunity to say, you know what, I messed up last week. I apologize.
So King Mike Hall said, not defending yourself is crazy. I understand what you mean. And like I said, maybe a different way to have done this is to, you know, correct the things that are wrong. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't say that. This is what we really needed. I understand how you understood it that way, but that's not really what happened. This is what happened. That's correcting a wrong, right? Yeah. But defending yourself is more like they talking bad about me. That, you know, like it's a pride thing, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it's never okay to defend yourself. We have defended ourselves throughout the 19 years. We had to. You remember the situation I'm talking about?
A little bit, but I was just thinking about the Greek situation that I've been in lately.
Oh.
And every time I read a comment, I'm just like, when they say I'm lukewarm or I don't have a follow, I don't know Jesus or I'm
that
not
really
saved.
Hurt you. That
I'm
hurt
not,
you.
Well, I laugh because I'm like, well, I know how much time I spend with the Lord. So you can tell me I say it to myself. Like when you said, man, they're getting on you on YouTube, I went and looked at the comments and they was like, bro's going to get it one day. One day he'll give his life to Christ. And I was like,
wow.
I'm not responding to that.
It's like hardly initiated.
I know what it is.
So I get it. I'm saying there are times where you have to defend yourself. This is the first time I've seen him do this. But if you find yourself doing that over and over and over again, you may have to ask yourself, who am I defending?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it me or am I defending God? So I like him. I think he's one of the most encouraging preachers I've seen in a while, where it's like, okay, this guy gets it. He's saying the things that I feel like preachers need to say. I just, the more I see him, the more it's going to be opportunities for people to take shots at him. So I'm just worried about him in that way for his own heart. Like, the more I see you on these podcasts and all these, like, you're going to say something that people are going to start. Their love turns into hate real fast.
Yeah. Real fast. Yeah. Especially in this season.
Shanee was going to say something.
Yeah, because I definitely want to respond back to that comment. Things that are fleshly, things that are soulish, are easy. Things that are spiritual, developing the mind of Christ, that's hard.
Yeah.
So to comment on the not defending yourself is crazy, that's hard. So it's easy to be like, oh, let me defend myself because that's fleshly. But when we look at scripture, like even what she going back to what she said before, like understanding that I don't have to defend myself. God defended me. The Holy Spirit led people's heart to defend me. And like Plain said as well, you doing all of that, putting yourself in this position, looking super prideful, because it was hard for me to watch. I was like, bro, but you doing a lot right now. But like... you looking super prideful for people who heart, if they set against you, they're not going to change anyway.
Yeah.
And then even, like you said, going back to scripture, one of my favorite chapters is in Acts 5. It's Acts 5 when they had the situation where they was like, I think it was the Pharisees, Sadducees and stuff. It was like, yo, look at Jesus out there, all this stuff, they preaching and stuff. And he's like, listen, if whatever they're doing is of God, then it's of God. But if it's not, it will surely fail. But woe to the man that is getting in the way of what God is doing. So God is going to do what God is going to do. That's spiritual laws. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do anything to defend yourself because God's going to take care of that. They got your mouth on you. God will vindicate and defend you better than you can ever defend yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
So understanding that I don't have to defend myself. My safety doesn't come with me. I cannot protect myself. If I put that hard thing and give it to God, God is going to get them better than I could ever get them. But not even focusing on that, your character precedes itself.
Mm.
So he didn't have to get up there and be like, oh, y'all coming at my character. Baby, keep doing what you're doing. Your character will precede itself. You don't have to defend that.
So I'm be honest, I didn't even hear anybody say anything bad about him.
Uh-oh.
I didn't hear anything.
I mean, it's always going to be people say that. Yeah, but like what Shania was saying, like the scripture saying, Proverbs, it says, when a man ways pleases God, even his enemies to be at peace with him.
Yeah.
Just follow God, man. Like Jesus, that's the ultimate example, right? Like, he didn't ever defend himself. He could have, you know what I'm saying? But he didn't. He just kind of just.
I got to defend him real quick because I'm from up north. How much is that an up north thing?
That's what we're trying to parse out.
Yeah, because I'm like. Character personality.
Because he's like a New Yorker. I know I heard his testimony from New York. So I know sometimes New Yorkers
get loud and it's like, why are you getting angry? Like, I'm not angry. I'm just talking.
So, I mean, I think at the same time, his passion could be something where it's like, I want to defend myself because I want y'all to know that I'm not like these people that y'all think I am like. Right. You know what I'm saying?
It's got to feel frustrating when you've been calling out this kind of nonsense and now they're accusing you of it. It's like, no, that's not me. I promise. You know, that I get that. I get that.
Funny enough, God has called us to come out of every tribe, nation. It don't matter where you're from. We're supposed to be developing the mind of Christ, period, and applying the scriptures, period. So I definitely get that. But even then, so there is nothing you can say that's going to change their mind if they think you wanted them to.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing and let your character speak for itself.
And I'll say this last thing. I noticed this as I go through social media and as I go through YouTube and different things. There's a percentage of people that are going to like you, and there's a percentage of people that aren't. It's the same way political parties work, right? 50% of the country is happy for four years, and the other 50% of the country is mad for 4 years. And so social media works the same way. You've got a percentage of people that are always going to have problems with you, and there's a percentage of people that are always going to love what you say and do. Mm-hmm. And so once you realize that and once you get on board with that, you know, I think you'll start to understand that social media is dangerous. I've always said that. Very. Wish I grew up in an era when there wasn't no social media. I would love that.
I did.
I'm growing up now.
I'm growing up now. I wish I grew up in an era.
But what I'm saying
the 80s and the 90s.
He's still growing. He's a growing boy.
There's too much for us to know that we shouldn't know. Because of social media, we know too much.
I really like him, man. I'm rooting for him. I just don't want any of this stuff to get him down. I could feel his frustration while he was talking. It's like, no, that's not what I meant. Yeah. And to have people I still have not seen these people's videos, so I don't even know who he's talking about. But
I'll send you a couple.
Oh, really? Ooh. Okay.
Oh, dang.
All right. But to have people speak evil of you when you know you didn't mean it that way, it's really frustrating. So I understand. I definitely understand.
But I agree. I like him, too. I've been to his church. Powerful, high worship. Like, stuff was broken in the spirit while I was there. Absolutely amazing. He's very thorough. And like Plain said, I have never seen a pastor that say, just rock with us. You ain't even got to pay tithes. Just rock with us for 6 months. We'll disciple you. We'll show you the ways of God. We'll teach you scripture. Don't worry about bringing anything to me. And I was like, oh, my God. I have never heard a pastor say that over the pulpit. Yeah. Ever. So even in this moment, bro, I'm defending you. You ain't got to do that.
Yeah, let us do it. Just send us a message. Send TrackStars a message.
Just come on the show.
And we'll say whatever you need said.
Like, no,
let
seriously.
Us do it. I'll do it.
Yeah, as his platform grows and more eyes become on him, that target grows bigger and bigger. So definitely pray for him because, I mean, as you were saying, Clayton James, like he's having to navigate this stuff real time as his platform grows and more exposure comes his way. He's having to figure this out on the fly. So just keep him lifted, you know. Yeah. Pray to God, keeps him.
And I think for me, I've been praying for the people following him as well, because I feel like we've watched this cycle too many times where, like, people start to, I think my biggest fear in a situation like this is, are the people in his congregation willing to say, like, oh, pastor was being prideful in that moment? Or has their love for him surpassed their, like, view of his humanity?
It surpassed it.
And I think, like, something.
Now, we saw a video where the defense was, like, it was wild. It was, like, people were saying, you did this wrong. Or you did this wrong. The pastor wasn't wrong. You were wrong. And the person was like, wait a minute. How am I the only one wrong when it was a two-way conversation?
So. Yeah, and that's a dangerous place. Like even experiencing a fraction of what he's going through. Like, it is a strange transition where people are reacting to you that don't know your heart and your character for real. But it's like, again, I think the hymn that's been holding me is, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look fully in his wonderful face. And I think the moment that you're starting to respond to, like, what other people are saying instead of what Christ is, like, am I pleasing you, Lord? And I think that's been my prayer for myself, but also, like, again, the people following, because it becomes this thing where you're worshiping the man and you think you're worshiping Christ through, like, serving him. And then if he falls, now your salvation is exactly. Yeah. And you don't realize you're doing it. It just becomes a place where, like we're wrestling through it here. Well, he's just like that because of this. And it's like, yeah, but that is still sin. Like, we may know why the sin is, like, there. We may know where that comes from culturally. But, like, God is still not pleased with that.
So we got two super chats. Sorry, bro, I ain't gonna say your name. I know it has something to do with dogs or tennis or something, but I can't say it. Said, money is the only thing that will keep most people from eternity. Money in itself is not evil, but the obsession of money is, and the less you have, the more you need God's strength. To whom much is given, the greater God's expectations.
Yeah.
And then
Fuzzy.
Dwayne said, "Track Stars invite Pastor Philip on the show. You're invited. Come hang out with us. We love you.
We're in Atlanta.
Yeah, we're right down the street. Right down the street. All right, let's get to this one. Tiffany Montgomery was on Higher Learning, their show.
Higher Initiated?
You know, hardly initiated.
I always mix those. Higher Learning is Van Lathan's show.
Okay.
Hardly Initiated is the two brothers here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Okay. Start up. Tiffany Montgomery was on Hardly Initiated.
Yes.
And she basically said, he said, you don't have to fear of God.
Oh.
I think you don't have fear of God.
You think it's not having fear of
yeah,
God?
Yeah, I don't. I don't think that you fear God.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't think that's it at all.
I do. I think that fear of God shows fruit. It's just certain things you wouldn't do if you feared God, if you considered God. He said, consider me in all your ways, and I'll direct your path. You didn't consider God in that moment. You considered yourself. You considered what you thought would be a good episode. You considered what you thought would be numbers, but you didn't consider God. Consider me in all your ways, and I'll direct your path. If you had said, God, is this a good idea? He would have said, no, let me direct you this way. But I think that decision was made because we judge fruit. I don't judge you just saying, no, I don't think that's it. Your fruit show differently, right?
Right. Yeah.
If you had a bowel movement, let's say you were a diarrhea. I think you had diarrhea. No, I don't think that's it. It's in the toilet. You can't hide fruit, right? So I'm looking at the fruit of it and saying there was no fear of God because there will be different decisions made when you fear God.
Like, I don't refute that because we had a lot of conversation. But we didn't bring up God in the conversation.
Mm-hmm. But see, I don't, and I guess maybe it's because how I might look or think about witches, because I don't think really of the kingdom of God when I think about witches. So I also think that just generally, I feel like I can't be harmed.
And I love that, right? Because this is a lot of people's ideas. But the reason I love that is because I know that you guys are growing in your faith, as we all are. Like when I'm 103, right, I'm still going to be growing in my faith, right? Like I will never know everything. God is so God. The issue is the Bible says my people are destroyed because they lack knowledge. So your ignorance is no excuse for what you did, and it doesn't stop the consequences of that act.
What do you do?
We're going to talk about it. This is my first time realizing their names are Ryan and Sean. It's Tyshawn and Ryan.
Right, right,
never
right,
noticed right. That. That's
wow.
Crazy. Anyway, so apparently they had witches on their show.
On there, and she was talking about some stuff on there, and then they asked her a question about, like, can a hex not work on somebody? And she kind of slipped up and was like, yeah, she tried to clean it up and was like, if they believe in their truth, but she originally about to say if they believe in God and the truth, like, but she was saying, like, if they believe in their truth, then they can't be harmed and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think we've heard testimonies of people who came out the occult and was like, yo, when I was trying to target Christians, I couldn't because the power of God was around them. Like, true, authentic Christians and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Interesting. So, this is your favorite podcast. So, what?
I told you I stopped following them.
I mean, it's okay, man. So, what do you think about what she said? Because I only say that because I don't know them like that. So
yeah.
What?
Well, like I said, the reason I was watching them at one time and then I kind of fell back from the notifications was because I realized that they were kind of swaying with the guests. You know what I'm saying? Like they would have believers talking about this, and then they would have secular folks come in the next week and
they
completely
would bend to them.
Yeah, completely like negate. And I think it's unhealthy for your audience, right? Yeah. You're just giving them Christianity one week, and then you're giving them something else the next week. It's like, where are we going with this? They did a 90-day celibacy, challenge where you don't do anything for 90 days. And I was just like, well, there's a lot to that because you're not just doing something for 90 days. You're changing your lifestyle. You're changing your pattern. And so everybody's in the comments and the chats talking about, man, this is hard. I can't wait to get to day 30, talking about how, they can't wait to break the fast, right?
Break the fast.
Are they Christians?
What's interesting?
Yeah.
The way Ryan is on the right side, right?
Ryan's the one
What's
with
interesting,
the beard.
Ryan I would say looks more like me.
That's hilarious.
So I think Ryan's on the right side. So I think Ryan's reaction shows that I think something is going on with him.
Okay.
I think he's starting to pick up that there's more to this than what he thought.
Yeah.
Maybe the same thing is happening for Tyshawn. I think both of them are starting to realize like there's something to this. But I think originally were they just bringing on, because they've had Lecrae, they have had Jackie, they've had Tiffany, they have so many Christian guests on their show. Maybe it's having an effect on them.
I think they are what we talked about in the culture of when you culture think of black Christians. Culture, yeah. And you think about the church. I think that's what they represent, because on their platform they will have, like you said, they will have Jackie, they will have, you know, all types of people, and they're like, yo, okay. And then the next episode they may have Tariq Nasheed, or they may have the king Dr. of consciousness, Umar. Dr. Umar, yeah. Mm-hmm. So they have different things, and to me, that's when I look at it, I was like, oh, okay, they think more culturally about Christianity than like biblical Christianity.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think for them, as I look at their content, and I think what she was saying was like, if you fear God, you would have not had that on your platform enough to give that a highlight that other people could be like, let me look more into that. Because when we talk about stuff, honestly, when we talk about certain things, people come up in the comments and be like, I don't know what that is. What are you guys talking about? And they're Christians. And sometimes your curiosity can lead you to a place of darkness. And that can be scary as well. So I think for them is they may be somewhere where they may go to church, but they also apply to the culture more than the scriptures. And I'm not saying that's their lives. I'm just saying that's what the onlooker looking at, like, oh, okay, they may look more to the culture than to the scriptures.
Do you think anything is happening, though? Do you think
something's changing? I think it is. I do think so. I think that, like somebody said in the comments, it is an old clip, but I do think they're like really taking their walk serious. And all it takes is people to be around you to challenge you in areas where you're like, okay, I get what you're trying to say. Because sometimes people may just think this is all the same, like how we had a conversation with Kendrick. Like, some people may think all of this is the same, versus like, no, there's a distinction about Christianity than every other religion.
That's what I was thinking the whole time when she was just kind of the chumping them off or rebuking them on this show.
Yeah.
I was like, only God know the heart of man.
Yeah.
You know, so to tell somebody they don't fear God, that was strong to me.
But if...
I mean, I know we're looking at fruit, but... Mm. I tell people all the time, sometimes a struggling believer can look like an unbeliever.
Mm-hmm.
Just based on where you at in your season of life. You know what I'm saying? True. If I would have came and told you, like, hey, you don't fear God, would that have been accurate?
A little.
But
I think
I don't think so. I think as much as what you said, you knew it was a line that... In your mind, it's a line that you're not going to cross.
And I was on that line.
You were very careful.
I was on it, but you
ain't crossing.
You knew what not to say.
Yeah, you knew what not to say. So no matter where you at, if you got the Holy Spirit, it's going to be a fear there. Sometimes it just look different. And then, two, she just strikes me every time we see her, and she might have some more content. It's like she always showing up with a spooky word. Like, it's like she always like...
And I was
looking at the paint dry on the wall, the Lord spoke to me and said, this is going to be the season. I'm like, what you doing on Tuesday? You know what I'm saying? There's always some kind of spooky prophecy.
But to be real, the scriptures talk about when the prophets do come in, they didn't give a great word. They gave, what's the name?
Oh, used to try to kill them.
I was just asking.
The kings hated them.
But do you eat lunch? You know what I'm saying? Do you eat lunch? Do you chill? Do you go to the park? You know what I'm saying?
You know, like, that's how we had the conversation started with Marcus.
Hey, I mean,
well, she's going to come through. She's
like, yes,
come through.
I had a combo last night.
I mean, it turned out well, though.
Yeah, it did.
I'm just asking questions. Other people, I'm sure I'm not the only one to think that. It's like, she always showing up. And another thing, the Lord spoke from on high. Like, come on, man. Like, what's up? Like, just...
I think it was good that she that's the one thing I hardly ever see with them, is that people are holding them accountable. Mm-hmm. And I saw Megan and Megan Ashley and Jackie on there, and they didn't necessarily like call them out on their 90-day challenge, because they were talking about it. They were like, hey guys, don't forget, you know, you're gonna have to read 10 Bible verses a day. You're gonna have to, you know, not look at pornography and not do other stuff, and you know what I'm saying? And they were just kind of sitting there like, and you could hear Jackie saying stuff like, oh, this is a hot place today, you know, like the stuff they were saying. And what was interesting was they got to the point where they were like, why would you ever want God to see you having sex with somebody that's not your wife or your spouse? Like, I fear God looking down on me. That's why I stopped having premarital sex. Like, she brought, that's what Megan Ashley brought up in the middle of the conversation. And you could see them going like, oh, okay. So the same way they did with her is like, so you think I don't fear God? And it was just like, no. And then there was a gentleman on there who was like, are you a lukewarm Christian?
He yeah,
was like,
that was Jerry Flowers.
You know, so, no, I think it's some truth to it. I think, you know, you have to, to get better, you want to be held accountable.
And I'm going
to
just say it. I'm going to just say it. I've been holding this back.
Oh, Lord.
you clearly realize you have a Christian audience. Be very careful. Be very careful that you're not just taking advantage of the fact that your audience is Christian. Hmm. And you're trying to cater your show to a Christian audience to keep everything moving.
Yeah.
I don't want to believe that that's what you guys are doing, but please don't do that. If you're having a genuine awakening to God and God is moving in you guys' hearts, by all means, keep doing what you're doing. Keep bringing people on. Keep getting people to challenge you. That's great. But if any inkling of this is, man, we found ourselves a nice little audience here. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep giving them what they want. We've seen other brands in this world of Christianity do the same thing. Do not do that for your own sake. God hates that. So if you think this is true even a little bit, do not play with it.
That sounds more prophetic than what I've heard her say.
Oh. Yeah, no, that's
like,
true.
That right there sounded like, hey, be warned. Like, you look in the Bible, the prophet say, hey, be warned. Like, God say, hey, X, Y, and Z, you don't tighten up, we finna come through.
What she just said was basically what you just said.
Nah, I've seen her before. She hit stuff.
No,
like,
I'm talking about we're talking about the clip. What she just said, playing, was what you.
No,
nah,
she told that. But what Sean said was, if this is what you were doing, she came out and told him, you don't fear God. She made an authoritative statement without knowing the facts. He said, if.
But I think the thing is
this. But she also said it was based on the fruit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
she said it was based on the
fruit. So you trying to tell me she's sitting back watching that show enough to judge their
fruit? Well,
she's
been on the show
like six times.
She definitely watched the one with the witch.
She watched the one with the witch. She did say if. But mind you, prophets are prophets. They're not going to do things and respond. They're not pastors. They're not evangelists. They're going to do things in the way they do it.
Well, that's a whole different conversation. Yeah, you don't believe in prophet or... Yeah.
I believe in
the gospel ministry. I believe in prophets. I ask you, is she one?
Yeah, I believe in the gift of prophecy.
If she openly rebuked Beyonce, she can definitely handle, you know, coming to a podcast.
We openly rebuked Beyonce and we... We ain't no prophets.
We didn't really.
Unless
we didn't take it viral.
I have okay.
Our
I have
rebuke
to
hasn't told, you know, like her rebuke was way like.
Right. Mm. But I think so too. Like, one thing that I was going to say is that personally, I felt like them saying that they don't have to fear if the God was strong for me. But if she feel like the Lord is leading her to say that in that way, okay, cool. But my question is the fear of God synonymous with submission? Because if you're submitting all of these topics, all of these guests to God, because like you said, you're in this transformation process.
Yeah.
Are you submitting this stuff to God and you're surrendering it? I think that's what I'm thinking. Surrender.
Yeah.
Because there are different levels of surrender and submission as well. So like the Lord revealed to me before, you will think you at 100%, but really you at 60. Yeah. You at 80. So do you lack the fear of God, or are you not fully surrendered and submitted to Him?
I agree with you, Plain, for the most part. I'm nervous about her as well, but I do think they needed to hear that.
They definitely needed.
They needed, because you could tell by his reaction, it was like, wait, you see that in me? You know what I mean? Yeah. I think he disagrees, but I think the guy on the right, Ryan? No, I keep mixing them up. I think Ryan saw what she was saying.
Should that have been the first time? Should that have been the first time she said that to him live on the air?
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Y'all and y'all feeling,
probably
bro.
Not. I mean, they've had her on so much. Like, feeling. If you go back, the Christians have the most watched videos out on Harley Initiated. There's some secular folks.
But I will say this. Like, they're now doing battles where they have, like, Christians going on there versus... they're doing theology battles where they have atheists versus Christians, or Christians versus Black Hebrew Israelites, or... You know what I'm saying? So now they're starting to do
but
that.
That's what I'm saying. Just...
I hope they're not taking advantage.
Well, right, they could be
of the audience.
And then also the other side of that is they're being taken advantage of. I've seen these brothers grow from 107,000 to 350,000 subscribers in a matter of a year and some change. So now you've got witches, warlocks, you've got, you know, five percenters, Hebrew Israelites, they're all coming because they got this platform of people they can talk to.
Let me ask y'all this. She made a valid point for us.
Yeah.
Will we have witches on the show? Will we have Hebrew? Not like, will we? That's a very good question.
Well, this is what she really said to them. You guys aren't capable of having a witch on your show. That's what she was really saying. Yeah. She was like, y'all ain't prepared for this.
I think that's real.
I can do it.
Yeah.
She's like, I could do it, but y'all can't do it because y'all are immature. That's what she was telling them.
That's a very good point to make.
Well, here's the question. If you're having a challenge, 90-day challenge, you shouldn't be having a 90-day challenge. You should just be like, I'm accepting the challenge to live pure. Yeah. Is that going to be hard? Of course. But at the same time, it's like, as a starting place, but it shouldn't be like a 90-day challenge. But it should be like,
that's the fruit she talk about.
Watch the clip.
But again,
the clip is wild. You have to leave
room for
growth.
If God is doing something in their lives right now, and they're at the milk stage of their faith.
It ain't
gonna look right. I'm just saying, if that's true, God bless you. Keep moving. If it isn't, that's serious business you're playing with. Yeah. It's serious.
If it ain't true, it's gonna fail.
In
defense of Tiffany, I'm a Tiffany stan, okay? So, okay, Tiffany, Shania is a Tiffany stan, okay?
We know.
I'm in the prayer and fashion ministry. It's done wonders for my life, amen. But in her defense as well, as a prophet, God sends the prophets in because he's tried other ways of getting your attention, but you don't listen. So a good example is when he said, Jacqui Hill Perry, these other people are on there, but they didn't give them what they needed. When she got there, she said exactly what needed to be said to strike their heart. Her defense.
I mean, I think if we're judging based off what was aired, like, we don't know. Mm-hmm. I feel like, again, I don't think I should have that kind of access to that conversation. I feel like if you really felt like it's not the Lord's heart to expose anyone publicly in that way. And I feel like doing it on air like that, I don't know.
But you know what I think it did? If she had that conversation with them off air, there are 700,000 people that probably needed to hear her correction of the last 10 episodes they've been airing to people who are following that. Like, because that 90-day challenge thing is wild. Yeah.
But here's another, but here's another thing, too. Even when Pastor Jeremy was on there and he was, like, explaining to them what lukewarm is.
He checked them, too.
Yeah, so I think at the same time, I think sometimes for, like, the Jackies of the world and stuff like that, they're kind of, like, where you are, maybe like, I don't want to hurt this guy's feelings, but then we're going to have a conversation. And then you may have some,
but then
you may have some other people that's like, this is a mess. Somebody got to tell you.
Tell you. You need correction in love. It's not expose. It's correction in love.
I was in my kitchen doing that. I was sitting there washing dishes and I'm listening to them and I'm like, come on, somebody tell them. I'm leading the chat trying to see, is anybody saying anything in this chat? Because, you know, but then I talked to a brother in Christ and I felt rebuked from that conversation because he was like, you need to get off of them because they're right now in the very early stages of their walk.
Learning from them,
you need to let them just move. And I'm like, but how can they move in the sense where they're telling people the wrong thing? This is the wrong thing. Like, he was begging he said this was a family member. He was like, I was begging my family member, like, you know, just try it for 30 days. Just try it for 30 days. And she was like, oh, my birthday's coming up. And if I tell my boyfriend, he's going to leave me. Man, after that, my birthday, then there's, you know, Cinco de Mayo. I'll let you know when I can try it, right? And I was like, yo, this is dangerous.
Yeah.
This is really dangerous.
No, what I was saying, I feel like what she was saying, like, the Lord is not in the business of exposing people. Like, he going to warn you privately first, and the only time he going to expose you is when it gets to the point where you just refuse to listen to correction. And also, you're supposed to correct somebody in the spirit of love, and the love is the truth. But I don't know. That sounded to me a little bit harsh on their platform. And let's be real. She's a social media personality, whether she a prophetess or whatever she is. She got a social media personality, and she needs likes, clicks, and views to keep her movement going, too. So if she go on here and she look powerful, rebuking the podcast, now folks who follow her pay. That's right. Tiffany standing for truth. More followers, more views, more money.
Question. There's been a lot of Christians that have come and sat in that seat. Has God given ample opportunity for them to get the right truth, and then Tiffany brought the truth eventually? Because there's been a lot of folks.
Like a seed was planted, and then she
Who is Tiffany? Some plant, some water God provide the increase? Like, Tiffany don't provide the increase?
Who's to say that they didn't speak to them behind the scenes already? You get what I'm saying?
Come on, sis. You're invited.
She invited. I would love to... Again, I probably need to just watch one of the episodes to see how it goes, but I would love to have them more, because they usually play the role of host. But I would like to engage them in a conversation where they're, like, involved in the conversation.
I would rather them come here than us go there.
Either way.
You know what I'm saying?
But what I'm saying is that I would love to hear, because I see something happening in the Ryan guy that I think he's starting to realize how serious this is. Yeah. I'm hoping the same thing is happening in the Tyshawn guy.
Yeah.
And to collectively, they'll start to realize this is very serious.
Yeah.
So I just want to be able to talk to them about that. How do you really feel? What do you really? Where are you at? Because I think we can assume it, and Tiffany can assume it. But I hope that's what's happening. So I'll pray for them. Pray that God will use that platform and it'll transform their lives so that they can really be what they appear to be to a lot of Christians.
Yeah.
But also to I think what Ryan said was real. Like, when you're a baby in the faith, or a baby, or you're mature, you're still on milk, like we always say. Like, I think at the same time, it's like two-edged sword. Give them grace, like you said, and see them work it out. But then also to my mind, I'm like, should you have a podcast if you're starting your walk out? Because we had that same kind of conversation with
B. Had the podcast before.
I know that's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm saying. Like even we had with B. Simone, because we don't dislike B. Simone or anything like that. We just thought like, some of the stuff you're saying it's kind of wild. So you may want to, and I've been seeing that she's been having people pour into her now since that conversation we've had. But I just think sometimes it's like when people firstly get saved and they're enthused and stuff, and then things happen to them, and it's like, you know, you're caught in the middle. So I think my biggest prayer for them is like yes, you that's great to start at a 30-day challenge, a 90-day challenge. That's great to start there. But look at it as a lifestyle of purity, not just like a challenge. Because if it's just a 90-day challenge, then it's like, you know what I mean? Like, does God mean more than you than 90 days?
Right. Yeah. I definitely, in that challenge, even though it does sound like wild, but if you're, it's probably giving people who never, that can't see forever an extended period of time. So it's like, maybe you could get through 90 days because you don't think you could get through 90 days. So, I mean, 30 days, but you done got through 90 days. You're reading 10 scriptures a day. Maybe it's just giving them space and time, because if you're in the Word and you're in the process of being submitted to God, that God can touch their heart in that 90 days. So, like you said, it could look weird. It could look murky or whatever, but if God is behind the thing,
Plain, how would you feel if they're members of New Birth?
Man, Jamal Bryan has had a continued pattern of terrible works in the public, you know what I'm saying? And I've seen situations where people try to come to him in love and try to talk to him about stuff. He gets super defensive and comes out and continue to do the same thing. I don't have an issue with I don't know Tiffany enough to dislike her or to discredit everything she does. All I can say is from what I've seen, it seems like she's just, I don't know, it's just somebody who likes to speak authoritative everywhere she goes. Yeah. And I'm just like, you can't be right every time. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, and I don't feel like nobody handles the situation right every time. I probably said some stuff on here. I probably going to say it. I said it today. But I probably said some stuff in a way that people don't like. I said, well, James could have handled that better. You know what I'm going to say? You know what? You're right. And I'm going to take into what you say into consideration. I'm going to work on that because I'm not without flaw. Like, I don't know everything. You know, so I'm going to make mistakes. And it's like, I'm leery of people who are always going somewhere with an authoritative tone talking to everybody. Like, I'm just not with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, even correction, humble yourself in the correction. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to come like you're this authority figure, like you had a relationship with God and nobody else don't. And that's kind of the tone that I get when I see her talk. I don't have nothing against her. I'm just saying what I observe.
Okay, so one comment to that, because I know that in my past, I have had one girl say, oh, you just have such strong opinions. Like, you have all of this X, Y, Z, whatever. And it just was like, well, honey, I don't speak on everything, but when I speak on something that I know and that I know that I know that I know, and if I feel like God is leading me to a thing, that
authoritativeness comes out of you. And it's not even like you're planning to speak in that tone. It's not even like my attention is to, I know God more than you, deeper than you, our relationship. It's just like, it's like God is speaking. Because I do have the gift of prophecy or whatever. So it's just like, sometimes that can get misconstrued. So I definitely hear you. And that sounds about right. But speaking from the aspect of somebody who's been in that seat, maybe God is sending her to these different places, telling her to say these things. And she has that confidence and that, I forgot what it's called, but like, she, that boldness and that tone. Because it's like, God is upset. You doing this, this, this. And this, it, sometimes you can't just say, well, God is displeased with you. If you can feel within you how upset he is. Mm. You know, to a degree, but sometimes you feel that in you, and you're like, Lord.
Every time, that's good.
Look who she's speaking to. So
every time,
I think for me though, like that's where the authority of Scripture comes in. Yeah. I feel like the same, like that is God's word, like written for us to have. And I think even if I have like an unction or a burden around something, like the Lord has always, he's always going to back it up with Scripture.
Right.
So then it can't be like, oh, that's just her opinion and she comes with really strong opinions. I think like if you're going to speak that boldly about something that publicly, like come with Scripture as well. Like, this is what I see with my natural eye. I don't see the fruits. And these are the Scriptures that like outline, like it, I know I can get on the internet and say like, oh, I know I don't love God right now because the Bible says, if you love me, follow my commandments. Mm-hmm. If I am defying all of God's commandments, then the fruits of my life are saying, like, based on the Bible and what Jesus has said, I know in this season, as much as I may think or feel like I love him, I'm not loving him the way he asks. And I think so, like, for me, that's the thing that gets sticky hearing stuff like this. I'm like you're saying, like, every time you have a really strong word from the Lord, but is it reflected in his actual word? And I just feel like it gets murky if you're not holding the Scripture as the authority.
Final authority.
Yeah.
So I knew we weren't going to be able to get through all these topics.
we
didn't get through even half. So
you want to do one more? Because I know you really wanted to do one.
No, but we haven't done line for line in a long time. So I want us to get back
to
that.
Did we three topics today?
We only did three. I was at least trying to go for four, but it's all good. We could move them to next week. Cause this one is I got notes, so we need time for that one. So all right, let's do this. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. We love you guys. If you guys are part of Patreon, make sure you go check out. We're about to do our Line for Line segment. We may sneak in a prediction segment, not a prophecy segment.
Word of knowledge.
So chill out. But we do predictions every year about like what do you think is going to happen with this and that. It's just for fun. So if you want to be a part of that, you want to see us do that, go to patreon.com/trackstarsuniverse. Ryan, can you give our Magic Mind link again one more time for us?
Yep. Make sure that you go to magicmind.com, TSJAN. MagicMind.com, TSJAN for 45% off this week.
I'll say it. Go to MagicMind.com/TSJAN.
Yeah.
MagicMind.com/TSJAN. You messed the link up. That's why we're
doing.
Did I? Yes. All right, y'all. Go check it out. We love you guys. Hang out with us in Line for Line if you can. If you're not, we love you anyway. See you later.
Stressful.
You in the field with the Track Stars. Let's go.